Good morning, church. Happy Sabbath. Scripture reading for this morning is from Romans 2:3. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Amen.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Good to see everybody here, our visitors, our members. Let's pray that we all have that blessing that God will give to us for meeting together as brothers and sisters in Christ. But it is. It's good to be here on a Sabbath day. We know that our fall weather is here. It's cold mornings and such, you know. We know that life is getting harder, not easier. We see all that is happening in the world, even right around us here now. All the shootings that are going on here in Elmira, you hear about all over this United States, but they're happening here in Elmira too. So we know that we have to be careful when we are outside nowadays. You know, it's like we said that years ago, we didn't lock our doors, lock our cars, and we got to do that today, you know, because of the way that the world is. But even with all that's happening there, we just have to pray that the Lord will cut it short. And sometimes I wonder whether we should really say that, because we're supposed to be working for souls. But Jesus does tell us, God tells us that he is going to cut it short and come for his children. And I pray that it does come soon. The Lord is coming soon. We have that in our hearts and never forget it. So we see that there. So we just know that God has given us instruction in how to live, in how to take care of, to treat other people. And sometimes we forget that, so we're going to look at one of the things today that hinders that process of there. So let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we just pray and thank Thee this morning that we are here to worship Thee and to honor Thee. We pray, Father, for guidance and directions to live according to your instructions, according to the way that we are to love our God, to love our neighbors as ourselves, to take care of the poor and needy, to truly live the life that you have asked us to live as your representatives. And yet we do make mistakes, but we know that we can always come to thee for repentance, and we pray that we do when we make these mistakes. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Yes. We know that the most memorized and quoted verse in the Bible is John 3:16. But what we may not know is that it is quickly being replaced by Matthew 7:1. And we're going to turn there to chapter 7 of Matthew and read the first 5 verses there. And it's on judging. I know that we all probably have judged sometime or other. I don't think any of us have been immune to that. So let's just read through verses 1 through 5. Matthew 7:1-5. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thy own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thy own eye? Thou hypocrites, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shall we see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. We see that Ellen White tells us that Satan will be judged by his own ideal of justice. He pled that every sin should meet its punishment. And Jesus is saying this just after he just got through with the Sermon on the Mount, and this is his following words about that. So Satan will meet his judgment, which he said God should exercise. So let's turn to Luke 6, 6:37. Luke 6:37. Luke 6:37. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. So we know that we need to forgive. And also Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Romans 2, 1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest does the same things. And so we have to be careful about whether we're going to judge one another or not. But as Seventh-day Adventists, there are some things that we should agree on. Homosexuality is a sin. Homosexuals need to repent before they can be right with God. All premarital sex is wrong. Two people living together is not right. It's called adultery. Abortion is murder. Many of us may not believe that, but it is. Abortion is murder. Killing of another human being. And the doctors that perform these abortions, except in rare cases, are guilty of taking a life of a human being. When these kind of statements are made, people immediately bring out the verse, Matthew 7, 1. Judge not, that ye not be judged. Then they say something like this, who you made, you might judge. And I think maybe that we've said that before too, because I know that I have. That how, the, you know, can somebody judge me without knowing me? And we all probably have done that. So the question here is it right to pass judgment on the action of others? We need to look at what see what Jesus said on this matter. There's a caution to be heeded. Verses 1 and 2 there of chapter 1. The word judge means to pronounce judgment, an expression of strong disapproval or harsh criticism. It refers to acting the part of a judge or to passing judgment on the words and deeds of another. And I've done that before. What if all the factors are known by the one judging? Jesus says, judge not. And I said, we're probably all guilty of that. But does that mean that all judgment is wrong? The answer is no. Because the Bible mentions occasions where Christians are called on to exercise judgment over others. Maybe that's why that going to jury, having jury duty, whether any of us want to do that. And I've done it in the past. I've been on 3 or 4 juries, and I think there was 2 guilties and maybe 4, 2 guilty and 2 acquittals. So I know what it is like to judge one another, but that's a person's own conviction, whether to be on jury duty or not. If we turn to 1 Corinthians 5, verses 3 through 5. First Corinthians 5, verses 3 through 5. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Yes, here Paul tells that he's judging a man that was guilty of fornication with his father's wife. He condoned the means and actions. He calls on the church to do the same. And well, we know that we have had to do that sometimes in the past. And there in Matthew 7:6, I didn't read that before, but we'll read that now. Matthew 7:6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rent them. So we know that sometimes the church exercises discipline against a wayward number. Reading that, but we are told that to judge some people as dogs and swine, and even being unworthy of the precious treasures of the Word of God. So you that, and at Matthew 18. Verses 15 through 17. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an unheathen man and a publican. So we know that times that we have to be able to do the and pass judgment using the Word of God, though, in doing that and handling such situations. But what is God Jesus talking about here in chapter 7? You know, we know that the word judge means to criticize, condone, or to censor. He's talking about looking at people and attempting to judge their motive and their actions, their real spiritual condition that they are on, based on what we see in their lives. And that we do, we see somebody doing something, they're living not right, you know, we're ready to judge and condemn them. And we know that we shouldn't do that. That person who sets himself up as a judge of others will himself be judged one day. We see that we all will come before the judgment seat of God. The critic forgets that he will be before God in the judgment. If you turn to Romans 14, verse 12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And we know that we are accountable to God and God alone. That next time that we may think about judging another person, we should consider also these verses. James chapter 3. James 3, verses 1 and 2. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. And then chapter 2, let's back up just a little bit, in verse 13. Chapter 2, verse 13. For we shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth after judgment. So we know that we have to be careful what we do. And when we do judge another person, we're going to reap what we sow. Galatians 6:7. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And here's the bottom line. We have no right to judge and criticize the lives of others around us. We have several reasons for that. Number one, don't criticize because you don't know all the facts. Don't criticize because we all fail God and sin. 1 John 1:8. Don't criticize because you do not know what is in the other person's heart. Don't criticize because when you do, you're attempting to assume the authority of God. Romans 14:4. Let's look there. Romans 14:4. Romans 14:4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth, yet he shall be hidden up, for God is able to make him stand. Holding up, I mean. And then James chapter 4. In verses 11 and 12. 4:11-12. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? And as I said, we probably have all have judged people. Don't criticize because one day you will face God in judgment yourself. Romans 14:12 will tell us that. There is a challenge to be heard in verses 3 and 4 of chapter 7 of Matthew. And here Jesus speaks to the real issue. When we judge another person, we're always doing it from a warped perspective. Jesus uses a humorous image of a man with a log sticking out of his eye and trying to remove a little splinter from another eye. We know that the word mote refers to a dry twig or a piece of chaff. The word beam refers to a board-bearing beam in a house or a log image. And we know that how impossible that would be to have a beam in our eyes. Many of us have had a splinter, a little chaff in our eyes before that, so we know that. But a beam in your eye, we know that it's impossible. The problem with judges is we're many times often guilty of the same or worse sin ourselves, Romans 2:1. Jesus is saying that the sin of the critic is greater than the sin of the person being judged. So we have to be careful in our lives that we live in a way that we treat other people. When we judge others, we reveal a heart that lacks genuine love for his neighbor. Matthew 22. Turn to that, chapter 22 of Matthew. Verse 39. Matthew 22, verse 39. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The second of the great commandments. An old poem by G.W. Cook puts it this way. There is so much good in the worst of us that it hardly behooves any of us to talk about the rest of us. That's right. And I've always said before that I believe men are worse gossips than women are. There is a counsel to be honored in verse 5 of chapter 7 there. Let's read that again. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Here it is. Jesus tells us that good people if they judge wrongly, they are hypocrites. Then he offers a valuable lesson to those who have fallen into that trap from time to time. And I say that I have myself. Jesus tells a would-be judge to first clean up his life. Then he'll be better able to help his brother. When our hearts are clean, we are told that we will be also be able to see clearly. Just as we read the Word of God and concentrate upon it, that the mysteries will be revealed to his people. So we know that we need to continue to study the Bible, the Word of God, so that we will see our own heart more clearly. We will understand that we ourselves are sinners who are prone to fail. We will see God more clearly and better understand that we will stand in the judgment before him someday. We will more clearly see people's needs for love, compassion, and help. And we know that that is our responsibility, that's our commission, to help the poor and the needy, the people that are in help, that are in need of help. When our own hearts are fixed and our own vision is cleaned up, we can see clearly ourselves. We will be able to reach out in the right way, in the right spirit, to help a brother or a lost sinner. Our responsibility for these things. We know that we're not able to read the things. Just got a little ahead of myself here. I guess that will go bad. We will not approach them with a spirit of judgment, reproach, and condemnation if we truly love our brothers and our sisters and anyone, instead of even loving our enemies. And I know that that's hard to do in many respects. Neither will we come to them with a spirit of, we will come to them with a spirit of compassion and restoration to restore them back to God. And that's why it should be done. Galatians 6, 1 and 2. You turn there to Galatians. Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. It's not wrong to confront a person with his sin. In fact, many cases it's wrong not to do it. If we would look at Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19. Then we'll go to Proverbs 27. And verse 17. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. So we know that we need to be careful with our brother. And then Proverbs 27:5. Proverbs 27:5. For in the time of trouble ye shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall ye hide me. Ye shall set me upon a rock. That's wrong one, 5. Sorry about that. I have heard the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. So we know that God will turn from the wicked and not be there. Refusing to comfort a person about his or her sin is just as wrong as a doctor refusing to tell him or her about their sickness that they have. And if you want to understand what Jesus meant in Matthew 7:1, we must also understand what he said in John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Verse 24. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. That says it all. You cannot judge a tree by its leaves, but you can judge a tree by its fruit. You cannot judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a book by its contents. The key to not judging is by appearance. Do not judge by appearance. And as we end, we need to follow Christ's advice. Judge not, that you be not judged, Matthew 7. I pray that we all will do that. And I just want you to know that, gracious Heavenly Father, we pray, Father, that we will treat all peoples in the way that you have asked us to do. To be Christ-like in all of our actions, in our lives, so that we may truly represent our God and our Christ on this earth here. And he will say, come near ye blessed, see the kingdom I bestow. You forever shall my love and glory know. As we leave this place, may our hearts be on fire for thee. In Jesus' precious name, amen.